I want to start off today by asking you a question. And my question today is, have you ever been in a room with someone who doesn't like you? Now, don't look around, please. All right. Raise your hand if you thought of it already. Not of them, but of that situation. Have you ever been in a room with someone who feels you do not belong in that room? Have you ever been in a room on someone who looks down on you? Who feels that it's a waste for you to be in that room? Have you ever been in a room with someone who does not value you? Does not value your thoughts, does not value your opinions. The reason I asked that this morning is because we're going to read about a woman who was exactly in that type of room. She was in a room where she had no value, where people thought they were higher than her. People thought they were more spiritual / religious than her. But it is from that woman today that we get to learn, I would say, three principles about stewardship. And before we get into that, I just want to ask simply, what is stewardship, or what is stewardship about? And I could give you a great definition, probably lengthy and wordy, but I broke it down basically to this. Stewardship is about decisions and the decisions you will make, decisions on what you will make a priority. As you probably know by now, I was asked to speak on stewardship. And basically, stewardship is that. What do you and I decide to make a priority? What do we make a priority? What's priority in our life when it comes to our time, when it comes to our talents, and when it comes to our treasure? What is it that you and I make a priority, or what do we prioritize when it comes to our time, our talents, and our treasure? So this woman we're gonna talk about today is in the book of Mark, chapter 14. You have it up there, verses 3 through 9. But we will start off reading 3 through 5. And I'm gonna figure this out. Ha! I did it. So Mark chapter 14, verse 3 says this: Jesus was at Bethany, a guest of Simon the leper. While he was eating dinner, a woman came up carrying a bottle of very expensive perfume. Opening the bottle, she poured it on his head. I'm reading out of the Message version. Verse 4 says, after this happened, that some of the guests became very happy. No? That's not what it says. Some of the guests were excited to see her. Some of the guests were glad she was there. No. Some of the guests were furious. They became furious among themselves, and they said these words: that's criminal. A sheer waste. Verse 5. This perfume could have been sold for well over a year's wages and handed out to the poor. They swelled up in anger, nearly bursting with indignation over her. Now, I know a lot of us have heard this story, and I'm going to go back to verse 4. I'll just leave it right there. Have probably read this story, have heard this story. But the reason I wanted to point out the situation, the reason I wanted to point out what was actually going on in the moment, is because we learn from her that no matter the circumstances or no matter what's going on or going on around us, we could still honor God with our time, talents, and treasure. We could still make God a priority with everything that we have. And let me ask you this. The reaction to what she did was they were angry. They were PO'd. I can't say the other word, I think. I could probably say it, but I won't say it. Leadership conference canceled. Carlos coming on Wednesday canceled. They were angry. They were mad. They were upset. My question to you today is, what did she do that got them so upset? That got them so angry? Did she cuss somebody out? Nope. Did she give somebody the bird? What did she do to make them so upset, so angry? Well, if we go back, it says that while they were eating dinner, a woman came up carrying a bottle of very expensive perfume, and opening the bottle, she poured it on his head. All she did was use what she had in her hand for Jesus. All she did was, at that moment, use her treasure, use her time, and use her talents to make Jesus a priority in that moment. And the reaction to that was, was anger, was therapy. Don't say it. Stop it. They were angry. And if you keep reading the story, they said, what a waste. What a waste that she would use her very costly perfume for Jesus. What a waste that she would use and waste her time for Jesus. What a waste that she would use her treasure in the moment for Jesus. What a waste. What a waste. Because at the end of the day, they were angry at her because she decided to do something they weren't willing to do. Isn't it funny when people get mad at you for something because you decided to do it and they didn't? Isn't it funny when people decide to get angry at you because you decided to take a stand and they didn't? Isn't it funny that when people get angry because you decided you're going to honor God but they didn't? So they got mad at her. For them, it was just a waste. For them, it was like, well, Jesus is not worth that much. Jesus is not... it's not that important. It shouldn't be a priority. And isn't it funny that people always have an opinion about what you should do with your stuff? Don't look at your neighbor. People will always have an opinion about what you should make a priority in your life. You know, and they go on to say in verse 5 that this perfume could have been sold for well over a year's wages. Another version says that it was, the value of it was 300 denarii, which was about a year's wages. And then they say, and it could have been given to the poor. You know what the funny part about it was? They didn't care about the poor. They didn't. Most likely the person who said that was Judas. And if we know about Judas, is the one that he always... shh. Oh, sorry. That's a Hispanic thing. He, you know, he always had his little, you know, like, it's like one of those, one for you, one for me, two for you, two for me type of deals. He was a thief. He wanted his own thing. He wanted to get his part out of it. Because many times when people get angry at us about our decision to make God a priority with our time, talent, and treasure, it will cause uncomfortable. It will make things a little bit uncomfortable for some, for others. It would cause anger. And a lot of times they're angry at what you're giving God because, one, they're not willing to do it themselves, or two, whatever you're giving to God, you're not giving to them. That time you're giving to God means you're not giving it to me. And how many, okay, raise of hands, how many know there's a lot of things trying to demand our time, treasure, and talent? All right? I left my phone up there, but that's one of them. There's a lot of things around us that if you let them, they will drain your time. They will drain your talent. They will drain your treasure. And stewardship is about making what's important, important. Not just saying it's important, it's actually making it important. We're not going to say God is a priority. We're going to actually make God a priority. And as we keep going today, I just want to share three takeaways with you, or three principles that I see in her life about stewardship. Can I do that? I think I have about, I'm just kidding. I'm going to stop. If not, Jesse's not is going to get on me for that. Okay. But I will share three takeaways. Okay. The first takeaway about stewardship that I see from this woman's life is this. Number one, stewardship is not about how much you have, but what you do with what you have. Stewardship is not about how much you have, but what you do with what you have. A friend of mine once told me a story of a man who was driving through the desert. And as most of these stories go, his car broke down. So since his car broke down, he actually started walking through the desert, trying to just find somewhere where he can find help. And as he's in the desert, he finds a broken down shack. So he goes inside. And in the shack, what he found was an empty well. And next to that empty well, there was a canteen with water in it. But attached to the canteen, there was a note that said, "Do not drink the water. Use the water to prime the pump. And then you will get more water." And it was in that moment of lack, in that moment of he's in the desert, he's tired, he's thirsty, it was in that moment that he faced a choice. Does he trust what's written in the note, or does he drink the water? Does he trust what is written, or does he waste the water by pouring it out? Let me ask you this today. What would you do? Because in that moment of desperation, would you guys agree it probably it's a desperate time? He could either decide to believe what is written or just drink the water. Either way, he's thirsty. So the story goes that he actually uses the water to prime the pump, and guess what? The well produces more water. The well produces much more than he can even drink. Because I believe that when we believe what is written and follow the instructions, God will bless us more than we can even think of or imagine. God will provide more than we even need or want. You don't believe me? There's a little boy walking around, hanging out with the disciples, hanging out with the people. And everybody's hungry at this time. And in that moment, all he had was five fishes. I probably mixed them up, but you know what I'm saying, right? Five loaves, two fishes. This is one of those anyways. Can we edit that part later, right? Thank you. And it was all about, well, little boy, what do you have? That's all I got. Okay, what did Jesus do? Nah, that's not enough. I'm sorry. He brought them to Jesus. Jesus prayed over them, blessed them, broke them, and then he gave it out. What does Scripture say that everybody that day ate, and then there was even leftover? Because here's the thing. When we trust God and we put God as priority with our time, our treasure, and our talents, he will always provide everything we need. You don't have to say amen, but I'm going to say amen to that. When we make God a priority, when we realize it's not about how much we have, but what we do with what we have. Come on, man. Five fishes and two loaves. That's like dinner for Jesse. I need double for me. That's what I was just saying. Okay? And in Scripture, we've never seen God ask people, what don't you have in your hand? It was always about, Moses, what do you have in your hand? I just have a stick, God. It's just a stick. Don't worry, I'll use that. So when it comes to stewardship, it's not about how much you have, but what you do with what you have. See, this woman, all she had was a jar of perfume. And we don't see Jesus saying, oh, no, that's not enough. We don't see Jesus saying, no, it's not the right perfume, right? Because when it comes to stewardship, I'm going to say this one more time. It's not about how much you have, but what you do with what you have. I'll say it another way. It's about what you make a priority with what you have. The second takeaway I see in this woman's life is this. Stewardship seems like a waste to some, but is an act of worship to God. What was the accusation of everybody? What a waste! How dare she waste a year's wages worth of perfume on Jesus? How dare she waste her time on Jesus? How dare she waste her talents on Jesus? How dare she waste her treasure on Jesus? What a waste it is that at 11:34 on August 14th, and a nice sunny day, what a waste it is for you to be at church. Hello. What a waste is it that you use your time and your talent and your treasure for the kingdom of God? What a waste. But stewardship seems like a waste to some, but is an act of worship to God. Because in the middle of everybody saying, oh my God, I use the message version because I like what it says. It says that they said, that's criminal. What a crime. What a waste. That she used this on Jesus. What a waste. What a crime. And I would submit to you that there are people saying that about your life today. What a waste of his time, of his energy, of his youth, of his strength, of his money, of his talents. What a waste that he would use them for the kingdom of God. But like I said, stewardship seems like a waste to some, but is an act of worship to God. Because when everybody was saying, oh, what a waste, and Jesus said, wait, leave her alone. Now, I don't have the scriptures up here. The rest of it, I probably should have, but in verse 6, Jesus says this. Let me read the rest of the story for you. But Jesus said, let her alone, or leave her alone. Why are you giving her a hard time? She has just done something wonderfully significant for me. You will have the poor with you every day for the rest of your lives. Whenever you feel like it, you can do something for them. Not so with me. And then she says this, and then he says this. She did what she could when she could. She pre-anointed my body for burial. And verse 9 says, and you can be sure that that wherever in the whole world the message is preached, that what she did is going to be talked about. See, they're all complaining. And Jesus is saying, wait, leave her alone. What she did for me. And here's the thing, one of the things you and I will have to learn as we continue to live out this walk of faith. There will be times that what you do for Jesus will get other people angry. And we have to be okay with that. Because although for some it's a waste, for God it's an act of worship. For God it's us saying, I am bowing my heart to Jesus. And I'm using my time, my talent, and my treasure for Jesus. Now what I'm not saying is you just be like, I don't care, and you be mean to people about it. That's not what I'm saying. Because some people, that's what they do. But that's the next sermon, right? Yeah. Yeah. But her focus was, I'm going to honor Jesus. And I'm going to invite you today. I'm going to challenge you today. What have you made a priority in your life? And is honoring the Lord really a priority in your life? With your time, with your talents, with your treasures, with your heart, with your worship. So stewardship is not, it seems like a waste to some, but it's an act of worship to God. And I've learned, and I'm continuing to learn this, is God needs to be, I have to worry more about what God is telling me than what others are telling me. Again, that doesn't mean you don't listen to wise counsel. Yes, you do. That's not what I'm saying, But again, as we go back to this scene, they were just angry because they were like, seriously? You know what it came down to? Seriously, this woman who doesn't even belong here, who's not worth anything, because that's what they thought, she's making us look bad in front of Jesus. And Jesus is like, no, wait. God. You guys are worried about looking bad when in the inside you guys are bad. That's funny when people worry about, oh, I look so bad. No, worry about how you really are. Because you want to look good, but in the inside, you're something else. Oh, man, that's another sermon. I got to go. That's the pastor side in me, sorry. This woman understood this. Doesn't matter what everybody else is accusing me of wasting. Because my Lord is going to be pleased in me, with me. The last thing I want to talk about today about when it comes to stewardship is this. Let's see if I can get it. Okay. Stewardship leaves a legacy for others. Again, what is stewardship about? It's about priorities. And what do we make a priority when it comes to our time, our talent, and our treasure? What's a priority with what I give my time to? What's a priority with what I give my talents to? Because I want to tell your neighbors or people at your table, you have a lot of talents that God has given you. All right, don't tell them. Go ahead and tell them, even if you have to fake it. I'm just kidding. Tell your neighbors, say it, you have a lot of talents that God has given you. See? I bet you if I would have said, say something bad to them, it would have been a lot easier, right? Our time, our talents, and our treasure. all things God has given us, and stewardship is about what do we make a priority with those three things. But this last thing I want to share with you is this. Stewardship leaves a legacy for others. See, after Jesus gets on their case and tells them, hey, what? You know what? Leave her alone. If he was Mexican, cállense la boca. Right, but that's in Jesus' name. But he says this. He says, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Let me ask you a question. What's this woman's name? Who? What's this woman's name? Anybody know? Okay, Mary. So there is an idea. Some people think it's her. Some people, it's really not sure. So in the story, it really doesn't say her name. It just says a woman came in. Right? So here's the thing. Why are we still talking about her thousands of years later? Because when we make God a priority with our talents, with our time and our treasure, that's a legacy we'll leave for the future generations. And let me just prove it to you real quick, and then we'll go and have lunch somewhere. In the beginning, Genesis, there's a story of two men. One man is named Abel. And one is named Cain. And as we know the story, Cain kills his brother. Right? We know that part, but do we know why? Oh, because he was jealous. Yes, he was jealous. But why was he jealous of his brother? Because God was pleased with Abel's offering, but was not pleased with Cain's offering. And that's what caused the jealousy. Right? That's kind of what it says, right? But before that, I want you to go with me. Just imagine with me as they're getting their offerings ready. You know, Abel says he was a shepherd, so he's getting his sheep ready. And he's getting the best of the best. He's making God a priority, giving the best that he has. And Cain is over here, like, probably looking at Abel thinking, really? You're going to give God that? You realize that's the best you have, right? You realize that that what you're giving them, what you're giving God, is going to make me look bad. Abel, are you sure? Abel, why are you wasting the best that you have for God? Abel, what a waste. Because Cain did not give God the best that he had. And imagine he's like, this is enough. And years later, thousands and thousands of years later, we read about Abel and Cain and how God saw Abel's offering and he was well pleased, but he was not well pleased with Cain. Why? Because Abel made it a priority to give God the best. There's a story in 1 Kings 17 of a woman, a widow, who the prophet comes to her and says, hey, do you have water? Now, you're just like, well, it's just water. You didn't ask for coffee or espresso or anything. It's just water. The thing about that is there was no water at the time. They were in the middle of a drought, 3.5 years of drought. And he comes to her and says, do you have water? And she brings him water. And then he asks, do you have something for me to eat? And he says this. The prophet says this, give me to eat first, and then go and give your son. Because you know what she had told him? She said, you know what? This is the last I have. I'm going to make this, give it to my son and myself, and then we're going to die. But that give it to me first changed everything. Because you know what happened with the oil and the flour after that? When she decided to give them the prophet first? Well, in a sense, she was giving God first or making God a priority first. You know what happened? The Bible says that every day there was still oil and there was still flour. Now, I want you to think about this. Imagine when she's telling her girlfriends this story. Like, yeah, this man came and he told me that I should give him water. And the girlfriend's like, what? You know there's no water, right? Yeah, and what did you do? I gave him the water. What? What a waste. Oh, but wait, the story doesn't end there. And then he asked me for some food. And they're like, what? How dare he? And what did you tell him? I told him, all I have left is for me and my son, one last meal, and then we're going to die. You surely didn't give it to him, right? Yeah, I did. What? You gave him before you gave your son? What a waste. But wait, the story does not end there, because when I did that, God miraculously provided everything else I needed. The oil did not finish. The flour did not finish. And what might have seemed like a waste to las comadres, or the girlfriends, is what God used to multiply everything and to provide everything she needed. Let me ask you one more question. What is this woman's name? But we're still talking about her thousands and thousands of years later. Now I want you to imagine this. This is my imagination with you. This is not the Bible says. But imagine when the Father says, who am I going to send? And Jesus says, I'll go. I'll go and die for everybody. And give my life out as a ransom for everything. Imagine when the demons heard this and be like, what? You're going to go die for them? What a waste. You're going to give the best you have. You're going to give your only son for a bunch of people who will forget you, for a bunch of people who will deny you, for a bunch of people who will live their own life and do whatever they want. You're going to go and die for them? What a waste. But as we all know the story, and the reason you and I are actually here today is because Jesus did come die on that cross for you and I. And he loved us so much, even when we were sinners, that he died for us. And he saved us. And now we have a living hope in him. But just imagine at that time everybody saying, what? You're going to die for that? You're going to die for Jesse and Carlos? No, what a waste. But he sure did. What am I talking about here? Stewardship leaves a legacy for others. There's a lot of things I probably won't leave my daughters. But one thing I do want to leave them is this legacy of, I decided that me and my house are going to serve the Lord. And we're going to use our time, our talent, and our treasure for his kingdom. So what's the legacy we're leaving? And today, as I close, I just ask this simple question. Are you willing? Are you willing to take the risk of being accused of wasting your time, of wasting your talent, and wasting your treasure? That's where we land today. Are we willing to have people angry at us and accuse us of wasting what God has given us? Because as I said today, and this is the end, and we'll have the worship team come up. First of all, stewardship is not about how much you have, but what you do with what you have. And this woman decided that whatever she had, it was going to be for God, for Jesus. And God honored that. Stewardship seems like a waste to some, but is actually an act of worship to God. I'm going to encourage you, as you're out this week, and as you say, I'm going to use my time, my talent, and my treasure for Jesus. That is an act of worship to the Lord. Worship is not just the three songs we sang at the beginning or we're going to sing right now. That's part of it. But worship is our lifestyle and what we do with what we have to honor God. And lastly, when we're good stewards, or stewardship leaves a legacy for others. That's my prayer for each and every one of us. That when we're gone, those who precede us or those who go after us would say, that's a person with all their mistakes, with all their mess, but they made God a priority in their life. And they used their time, their talent, and their treasure to honor God. So I want to pray with you this morning, almost afternoon, and I'll pray and then I'll let the worship team lead us in another song. And will you risk being accused of wasting your time, your talent, and your treasure? Would you risk hearing the voices internally and externally of what a waste? Because in the end, when we do take that risk, God honors that. So Lord, this morning I have spoken your word, and I thank you, God, for the opportunity. And I just pray your spirit continues to move among us. Lord, help us make you a priority in our time, in our talent, and in our treasures, God. No matter what the voices say and the accusations of what a waste, may we always understand and believe that although it's a waste to some, it's an act of worship to you, God. And it will help us leave a legacy for those who come after us, so they too will continue to honor you and steward their time, their talent, and their treasures for you, God, and make you a priority. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.